Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 21st of April, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And what national day is it? Come on. This is
National High Five Day.
High Five Day. Hang on. Yeah, we just high-fived. And, of course, Trish Clark is here. It's Thursday. And Trish becomes my Thursday girl.
Oh, I love Thursday mornings. It's 45 degrees in downtown Ready. We're looking for a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., a high near 61. Winds from 6 to 14 miles an hour, which I know they were blowing 50 miles an hour last night. It was wild and woolly. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Tomorrow, on Friday, chance of showers, a high of 66. And Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 43. And on Saturday, sunny, a high of 75. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 47. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 61. And Sunday night, a low of 52. On Sunday, a high of 81.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so cool April nights. It's going to be beautiful through the weekend. That's great.
It's going to be great.
And on Monday, partly sunny, a high of 79 and a low of 52. Chance of showers on Tuesday, and then clear and sunny for the rest of the week.
Okay.
The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Now, today we're going to have Bob Halsinger, who's running for county clerk against Kathy Darlin Allen. And then Rick Bassetti's going to be on 7:30 to talk about Gold 45s.
Oh, perfect.
So we have from now until 7:30 to talk about things. Let's talk about the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about that. Now, I don't know if you listen every morning because I know you sleep in.
I generally get up around 8, so I guess the last hour.
We had John Green.
Okay.
Who was on. But that was on Tuesday. Then Patrick Jones came in and wanted to add some stuff because I had read most of the letter, or I thought salient parts of the letter that Pontus had written. He wrote a letter. And I put in to the KRCR.
Uh-huh.
They had asked him a question. He wrote a letter. And I read parts of that letter. And as you know, and everybody knows now, is Matthew Pontus, back when he was a young man, 19 or 20, made a big mistake.
Right.
Paid for it.
His
record's been expunged. He told the Board of Supervisors when they hired him about it. And then Patrick said, and I'm going to have to go back and to make sure that his exact words, because I don't have his exact words, but said there were other instances too. And I'd asked about, there's redemption, but other instances too was brought up. Now, nothing was ever said about that. Anyway, so then they go into the cloak of silence, or what is it? What was that?
What's it called?
What's that in Get Smart when the cone of silence?
Oh, okay.
The cone of silence. They went into the cone of silence and talked about it, discussed it. And what Patrick said is, I did not ask for his resignation. This is what Patrick says. Pontus said he did. He said, I wanted to talk to the rest of the Board of Supervisors about this.
So what did he come upon this information? Did he say that?
I'm not sure.
Anyway,
so the Board of Supervisors comes out and votes 4-1, that they gave him a vote of confidence, says he's doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. So what's your opinion on this?
I know what I've read in the newspaper. I know what I've – I haven't talked to anyone close to it. It just sounds like more trouble stirring, and I'm not exactly sure where Patrick was going with this. It he seemed to be, at one point I read a statement that said he was unaware that the rest of the board knew anything about this and thought he needed to let them know about this, that they were unaware of it. I can't believe he didn't talk to anybody that had interviewed him and say, hey, did you know
because
that isn't, that wasn't clear to me.
Les Baugh was on the, on the board that hired Pontus.
And you know they're talking.
So I know that they're talking. And then Mary Rickert was on the board then. And
I'm not sure they're talking.
Well, no, but,
and Joe,
Joe Comini, I think, was on.
No,
How long
has he been here? He's only been here 2 or 3 years. He hasn't been here that long.
Who, Pontus?
Pontus.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. So,
Joe Comini must have been on there.
Well, he could have been. Well, yeah. Let's just say that. He could have been.
I think the bad part for me, as I read it, I thought, you know, I'm so hoping that at some point with the right combination of people, we can actually get back in county government to some kind of sense of order and take care of the many needs that we have in Shasta County. We've got some issues that really need attention.
That far exceed
all this nonsense
now,
that's going on in the board meeting.
I understand what Patrick was saying, though. He said, well, if there were other things besides that one, he said.
But it wasn't specific about what those other things were.
It wasn't. Okay.
And that didn't come out. And that's part of the problem. We need to quit. Yes, we need to be open with the public, but don't dare your dirty laundry on a regular basis in the public.
Well, here's my other question. So I think this has been put to rest. Now the county.
Well, and has it, and that's what we're going to see.
True.
That's where we're going to see. Is this going to continue to now be a rift between this supervisor, who is the vice chair of the board at this point, and
become chairman
and going to become chairman next year, then is that going to continue to be a, I have no faith in you and I'm not speaking to you and that,
yeah, you can't do that.
We'll have to see how this goes forward.
I hope they man up and get over this.
Yes. Get this behind them.
Because they both got their licks in.
Yep.
Yeah, so now the second thing is the board voted to rescind their opposition to Wind River.
Yes.
And then in writing a letter of support to Wind River.
On a 3-2 vote.
On a 3-2 vote.
I'm sure because Supervisor Baugh has always been in support of the Churn Creek Bottom people and whatever they wanted.
He was always going to vote against that.
He voted against that.
And then Mary.
Mary voted against it. She voted against it the first time.
Yeah. So.
And I'm not sure. See, that's another one where I'm not exactly. I never could figure out in the first place why the city council and the board of supervisors took a position on that in
that
the first
me,
place.
That to me was dumb.
That was go out and stir up a pot you have no
you can,
control over.
If you have. You can write a. Say, we have the question.
We have some concerns.
We have some concerns, but to be in opposition.
Does it? Because you have no say about it. And
you don't have. But all you're going to do is.
Cause a rift,
and which is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a, and we still don't know with because it comes from the Bureau of Indian Affairs,
and that they are the decision makers. I know that there is still, as I understand it, a pending lawsuit between the rancheria and the city over that right away.
Over selling that piece of land.
Yeah, and so that's still up in the air.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about selling that piece of land. Everybody goes, well, they should have known about it. Well, then when selling the land along the river came up, it was the same thing. They just had the plots there, and they didn't say what it was. And they were going to meet in secret meeting there. Well,
then somebody got wise and had to fess up.
Well, it was Shasta Scout or somebody took a look at it and said, "Whoa, this is the riverfront." And in the consternation at that point, well, the city council did the right thing. As soon as it came up, they said, "We're not going to talk about this. This has got to be an open session," which was the right thing to do. But what it did was it gave the impression to a lot of people
that they got caught.
Well, yeah, that they got caught.
and we're going to do the same thing again.
Yeah.
So transfer that over, and you've got people. I mean, okay, so I kind of put this forward. Now you've got candidates running for the Board of Supervisors. You've got one from the Redding City Council, and you've got one from the Anderson City Council.
Yeah.
Okay, now the Anderson City Council has been doing really good work. They got that city, I mean, City of Anderson's coming up with an A+, right? I mean, they've got their police department, they've got this, they've got that. So you would think that candidate from that city council would be a fairly, you know, okay, that's a good thing. He did a good job. How about the candidate from the Reading City Council that, according to perception, and I don't even know how Aaron voted on any of these issues specifically. I'm not being specific to that. But I'm saying, okay, I come from the Reading City Council, and now I want to move to the county and do the same thing. I'm going, whoa, I don't think so. I mean, and you know what I mean?
Well, now we're taking sides,
no,
are we?
No, I'm just saying, in the perception, if you're having, do I have faith in the Reading City Council and what they've done before? All that plays in, I'm thinking.
Well, no, anytime you're in politics, you leave a trail.
That's right, your record follows you.
And as in the, if you're hunting with dogs, you're saying they're leaving a scent trail back there.
That's right.
So,
and the other thing that they keep saying, they're not politicians. Okay.
Well, that's not true.
Well, if you are running for office, by the very nature of what you're doing, you are now a politician. That's what politicians are. They're people who run for elected office and get elected. Now, I'm not a typical politician. I mean,
You ran.
But I didn't play the game. But I was a politician.
You were a politician.
You cannot say I'm not a politician.
You are, because you're running for office. The one thing that you and I are agreeing on, kind of in this morning, is Sleep Number.
Absolutely.
Okay. This portion of the show is brought to you by friends over at Sleep Number. And I tell you, last night, I did not, you know, because usually I'll wake up, you know, at my 3 o'clock hour. And I don't have to go to the bathroom. I don't have to do any of that. I just wake up at 3. Then I go right back to sleep. Last night, boom. I don't even know if I moved last night. That bed is so comfortable.
My Sleep Number is almost always 55, as you know. And I've been having some trouble in my lower back.
Uh-huh.
I moved that up to 75. I can't believe what a difference it made. It really relieved my back, and I feel so much better this morning.
Well, Linda's Sleep Number is 35, and last night my Sleep Number, I dropped it to 50 because of the same reason. And, you know, except you went.
I went firm.
I went a little bit softer.
Yeah.
Anyway, it works, my friends. The Sleep Number bed, you can adjust it to your firmness on your side of the bed. It works. We've had ours for 8 years. Trisha's had hers for 20 years plus.
Yeah.
Never had a problem with them. And why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. And now you can save $1,000 on a Sleep Number's most popular smart bed, the IA360 smart bed, only for a limited time at the Sleep Number store, which is, of course, in the Target Shopping Center there. Just go in and lay on any of the beds. It's great. Or sleepnumber.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
Feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
Gather your friends and family to share a meal. Seasons Inside Wind River Resort and Casino is offering Easter brunch on Sunday, April 17th. Brunch 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. includes carving station with prime rib, baked ham, omelet station, assorted sides and desserts. See the full menu and prices at windriver.com. Children 5 and under free. Reservations suggested. Call 1-800-280- You win. Leave Easter brunch to us and find your moment at the river.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
For over 50 years, House Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a Tap House rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House. Pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. We're on 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals recognized by the Watson Health Institute. The only area hospital with a Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system means less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. This is Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Why not choose the best? Okay.
I want to follow up just a little bit more on the whole election process, because I think it's one of the things I'm really excited about is there's a lot of forums going on, a lot of people getting out. There is some interest. There should be more from the public at some of these forums. There should be more people attending them. If you get an opportunity to have any of the candidates for any of the offices in your area, take the time to go and listen to what they have to say, because it's really important at this point. And listen to all the candidates. We've got two slates going. There's meet the candidates here, but and they're not all the candidates, and I want everybody to be clear about that. Be sure that you're listening to both sides of every story, because all of the I'm really excited that we have competition for a lot of these offices.
For the first time.
I mean, that's really good. So make sure that you at least go to the web pages for all of the people And be sure that you're before you vote, learn about all the candidates.
Well, keep listening to our show, because this week we had John Green on. We had Sheriff Mike Johnson. Today we have Bob Holsinger, who's running for Shasta County Clerk. We're going to have Kathy Garland Allen on. We've had Eric Jensen, of course, Stephanie Bridget. You know, we're
all of the candidates
an
for all
hour
of
with them. Yeah. And in May, I'm going to be moving schedules around so we can get everybody one more time. Judy Flores, Cables, everybody again. At least, you know, one more time so we can, you know, kind of start, you know, burrowing into how they're going to do these things.
It's important because we don't want to let any group of individuals dictate your choices based on their agenda and their slate of candidates.
Well, that's true.
We just don't want. We want everybody to make up their own mind, you know, based on those qualifications.
As we've learned, especially at the national level.
They said, sometimes elections, they stretch.
Elections have consequences.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
You know what? I said this yesterday. I have to say it again. At the rodeo, at the Red Bluff Roundup, I saw a T-shirt. It said, okay, I know you've heard this already if you listen every day, but here it comes again. Jose Biden, no bueno. Now, I'm sorry, if they had done that to Trump, it would have still been funny.
it's funny because they are coming out with some really good stuff against Biden, and they act like you just can't do that, and yet the things they've done forever. I will say that the late night comics, some of them are at least coming out with
a little bit
of stuff.
It's
getting to the point where it's hard not to joke about Joe Biden.
You know, the one.
If you look at any of the footage of the last appearances.
When he was at the Easter egg.
Oh, my God, yes.
And he's over there talking about Afghanistan, and here comes a bunny rabbit.
Well, it's one of
my
people.
Dress. One of the staff people. Comes running up and pulls him away and then starts jumping around. It's like, what? Yeah, I mean, come on.
Stay. And the bunny telling him where to go, and he's wandering.
It is funny.
Well, it's funny, but, you know, I will say again that I think it's almost elder abuse. If you watch the footage while Obama was at the White House recently, and he was there, and then afterwards everybody was talking to him and nobody was talking, and Joe's walking around like he's lost. Nobody's talking to him. He's trying to talk to people. He's being totally ignored, totally irrelevant. It was sad. Somebody needed to have a conversation with him, and nobody took the time to see how that was appearing.
What can I say?
I don't know.
Except, let's go back to local politics. This is an important election, my friends. There's already been changes since the recall. So, you know, which I think, if anything, if people were opposed to the recall, but there's a lot of people, obviously, in that district that weren't. And so you've got the first district, and you have the fifth district that are running this time. So you've got two of the, you know, and you've got multiple people in the races.
Yes,
so
you do. You've got
chances of getting a 50 plus one vote is kind of low. However, in the other races with only two people in it, this could be settled in June 7th in the district attorney's race, the county clerk's race, the Office of Education.
Well, they're going to be settled.
Well, they will be
one
settled.
Of them's
going
to get more
yeah,
votes.
Yeah, one of them's going to get more votes, and if that's the case, that's it. They then take office again in January. They're not coming back again in November. However, for the board of supervisors, there's a chance that
certainly in District 5, it's almost impossible with five candidates running for one person to get 50% plus
yeah.
one.
And I think that the candidates in the first district are all running a good race here. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that one. For a number of reasons. First district was owned by Dave Kehoe for so many years, and then Joe Kameny came in and ran against them, and we found out that Dave wasn't as strong as they thought he was. And then Joe's had it. Joe's just had it, you know, after this past, you know, after this past 4 years. And
District,
you know,
1 historically has been, David was the first one who got that seat in a long time who was not seeking to go beyond that seat.
Yeah.
If you stop and look at everybody who served in District 1 over the years, almost all of them used that as a stepping stone to run for the Assembly, to run for the Senate. I mean, you've got Assemblyman Dickerson, you've got Senator Johannesson, you've got, before that, names are fleeing from me, but they all ran for office, Assembly. Well, no, they didn't all get elected.
You've got to look at that for whoever's running for supervisor.
Keep that in mind.
Are they using this to take that next step?
Exactly.
Well, but see, I have no problem with that.
Well, I don't either. Been the seat
as
that
long
has done
as
it.
They do their job, and then if they want to fleet up and go after one of the Dallies, because Dally, of course, he's terming out. So is the plan of the Republican Party to fleet his wife up to Megan?
I understand. I understand. There's a whole scenario there.
Of course it is, which is kind of weird. But now you've got three or four people running against Megan. In this time, and some of them are Republicans.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and get them all on the show, so you can find out who these people are. And speaking of being, you know, politicians, at what point do you stop? I'm just going to use this. I'm a talk show host, and I live in California. But if I've been in Sacramento for 12 years. Am I still a talk show host? No. I'm a politician, and I live in Sacramento.
Yeah.
I mean, I come back and visit all the time and say hi, you know, shaky howdies and kiss babies and all this, but I am a politician.
That is my job.
I'm not a farmer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not any of these things. I am a politician at that point. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
you're there representing the people, and if the people keep voting you in, then you know, you're obliged to do that. But things change.
Well, and the problem is when you get to those higher levels, it's very difficult to stick to your principles because of the way the legislative process works. In order to get a bill that you're really supportive of it passed, you have to give up a lot of favors, and then you have to vote for things that
it's not good. That's true. I would say that maybe in the, you know, at the board of supervisors level, but when you get up to Sacramento, they don't care. You could be nice and vote with theirs and beg them to vote for yours, but they don't need you. And, you know, you could send a yellow lab down there and sit in your seat and bark when it says time to yay or nay, and it makes no difference. But we got to take a break. We got Rick Bassetti here. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by River Common Senior Living. Yesterday we talked about the lady that's 104 years old, birthday, living at River Common Senior Living. And she is a firecracker, from what I understand. She plays piano for everybody. She doesn't use a walker. She doesn't use a cane. She is there, and she loves River Common Senior Living. It's not an assisted living facility, my friends. This is a premier retirement community, beautiful settings. As she said, I love my two bedroom apartment. And when they asked her, what's your longevity? And she said, yeah, it's got to be margaritas. And when she said that, I started applauding. I mean, but this is what River Commons is. It's a place that people can go. They can thrive there. They've got a gourmet chef that's pet friendly. Bring your pets. For more information, give Brian Martin a call at 238-5981. Get a personalized tour. Have lunch. See why so many people like it there. See why they worry less, smile more at River Commons Senior Living right here in the center of Reading. We'll be right back with Rick Bassetti.
Did you know staying active can reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's and dementia by 45%? 2.5 hours of moderate physical activity each week is recommended. Activity for 15 to 20 minutes a day can make a difference. Take a walk, go for a swim, or dance in your living room. For more healthy brain tips and resources on Alzheimer's and dementia, visit ShastaHealthyBrain.com. This message is from Shasta County Health and Human Services, supported by the California Department of Public Health Alzheimer's Disease Program Healthy Brain Initiative.
Hot God!
And Cool April Night
is back, April 22nd through May 1st.
It's over a week of classic car fun.
Dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 29th.
And get your tickets now for the big event with up to 2,000 classic cars on display Saturday, April 30th.
It's back, bigger than ever. Don't miss the 31st annual Cool April Night, April 22nd through May 1st.
Get your tickets today at any of the 8 Napa Auto Parts locations.
For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Tickets for the big show on sale now at any of the 8 Napa Auto Parts stores for $8 pre-sale and $10 at the door. And new this year, for $25, get your all-access wristband that gets you into the big show, plus 4 nights of live entertainment at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Sponsored in part by Redding Tourism and Marketing Group, Wind River Resort and Casino, Lithia Chevrolet, and Cresco Equipment. For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's KOOLAPRILNITES.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, 7:38 in the morning. It's about 46 degrees out there. We're going to be getting thunderstorms here today. I was heading out to the horse this afternoon after the Reading Rodeo Association's media luncheon. I'm not sure that's going to happen today. We'll see. This portion of the show brought to you by REU. If you listen to the ads that we have from REU, they are telling everybody, get your places ready for the summer. It's going to be fire. We know it's going to be fire, and it could be the worst year ever, according to Cal Fire. So is your house safe? Do you have those low-hanging trees trimmed back? Do you have defensible space? And let's just go a little bit further. Do you have go bags? Have you started putting your go bags together? So if you are forced out of your house, that you've got all those important things. You've got the list on the Redding Electric Utility webpage. My friends, I'm hoping, praying, that we don't have a bad fire year. I hope this is just something we go, okay, we got a respite this year. But be ready. Ready and Electric Utility. We're here with Rick Bassetti, one of my favorite people. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Carl, Trish. Thank you for having me.
You know what? You came to me a couple months ago with a plan for Tiger Field. And, you know, say what you want about Rick Bassetti, but Rick has totally turned around South City Park. It became safer. It became a place that people came to take their kids to. And if you don't think a fence, look at where the fence ends at South City Park and then look at the library and what's going on over there. I taught a concealed carry class to a group of people whose business is very close to the library.
Well, you taught me.
And they said, well, and I said, well, why do you, you know, I always ask, why are you taking a class? And one of them just pointed across the street. That was why. So, anyway, this plan was to put big screen, a little league fields, this whole thing. And it was, you know, you were raising most of the money, but you needed to see money from the city. And I'm sorry just to throw this out here, but what the hell happened?
I don't know. We had all the organizations involved were the Rotary Clubs in town, the Library Foundation, Sons of Italy, West Reading Little League, everyone involved, Nichols, Melberg, Rosetto were going to donate all of the design and engineering for this project.
Yeah.
You're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And there was no final set plan. We just had a vision. And we had nothing. We're totally open. Hey, how do you want it to go? What would you like to do? You know, there was a big bandstand there and everything too. But, you know, the city decided that they have a different direction that they want to go.
So they had money to do for nonprofits and for small businesses.
The money was up in the air. Nobody really knew exactly what it was going to be for. It was the ARPA money. It was the federal money that was distributed out to counties and cities.
Yeah.
To help offset offset the damages to the communities
based on the pandemic.
On the pandemic, yes. And so it was kind of up in the air. And everyone heard different rumors. There was legends running around about everything. So we just went in and said, we understand that a significant amount of this money should be going or supposed to be going to nonprofit organizations, which we are. So we thought, well, let's ask for some of this money. It started off very small, a couple of years of our annual production. And because we've had to put off maintenance for a couple of years down there. So then it grew. And then other people started coming to me and saying, hey, well, if you're going to do this, let's do a total block renovation. That's a whole block there. Let's ask for enough money to where we can do these things. And that's where that, if you go onto the website, we still have it posted up there.
Yeah.
You can do the fly around, see what we proposed.
And what website can people look at?
ReddingColt45s.com. ReddingColt45s.com. And you can go click on and it'll say South City Park Project. We left it up there just as a vision thing, you know. It's a wonderful park. And next year is the 100th anniversary of Tiger Field. And we thought, wow, we get some money. We could put this stuff together, and we have this big, huge 100-year celebration down there, and blah, 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 blah.
And a lot of things have come there since you've done all that. I mean, the
Sons of Italy built their bocce courts there.
Exactly. We've got that out of the Anderson River Park and up here, and it's been thriving.
It's been doing well. And, it was closer to their place of business up here, and it was easier for them to put on. So, anyway, you know, we're just really excited about the 45s being able to play this year. And so there's going to be a revenue stream finally again for us. You know, we're not going to be able to do anything what we thought before. City Council felt that it wasn't prudent to provide any of the monies to us, you know, in this situation.
For this project.
Yeah. We were told that there was going to be a certain amount of money put into a general pool and that the foundation here in town was going to be handling who gets doles out. So it'll be like, it'll probably be like somewhere between $8,000 to $10,000 chunks are going to go out to a bunch of different people, which is fine too. That's okay too. We were just asking them to really make an investment in South City Park. There hadn't been anyone. You know, when we first went down, well, when we got involved and we reconstituted a new total board of directors for the 45s about 10, 11 years ago, mm-hmm. we went to the city and asked for permission to manage and take care of the field. And in return, you know, they were going to provide for the utilities. And we would now pick up all the rest of the expenses.
And you have done that.
And we've done that. And we've done over $650,000 worth of improvements to South City Park and Tiger Field. And so we thought we've been doing our job. You know, we've been doing our thing. So we thought maybe we get a little partnership going on. But this council, I mean, there's been people talking at the city that South City Park has been locked up and closed for the last number of years that we put up that fence. When in fact, if you go and look at the voting record in the matter of the minutes, it was just changed from an open day use to a by reservation only. They're not charging people to use the park. You just have to make a reservation to use it. All right. And give them a deposit to clean up your mess if you don't clean
exactly.
up after yourself, right? And people that know how to do that.
Yeah, they have parties.
But there's been no campaign on the city's part by the Parks and Recs or anyone else. There's been no campaign to educate the community. This is how you use South City Park.
So you have people who think it's locked up, but it isn't.
Yeah, but there's people talking at city like it is. You know, in reality, and I'm not here to throw stones or anything, but these are just cold, hard facts. When we went in there 11 years ago, so the park had been abandoned by the city,
and it was
not a good place. It was a
not some place you wanted to be after dark.
Nowhere near it. The bathrooms had been chained closed because they had been destroyed. The ceramics had been smashed in there. Drugs, prostitutes, everything was happening in those buildings. They ended up dismantling and taking the playground out of there, and so it was like enter at your own risk type thing. And so we had to have the use of those bathrooms because our crowds grew. And so it was a local community thing where, you know, we got donations from J.W. Wood. We got Patrick Wallner came in. His plumbing guys came in. We put in new porcelain. We put in doors on the stalls. We painted everything up. We cleaned it up best you can for a 1970s bathroom. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it works. And so now we're our best year. We had 34,000 people came to our 40 games. And so this all, you know, anyway, so I'm real excited about the season. We're going to get to have a season now.
Yeah.
You know, since we've been off for 2 years. I kind of expected that we were going to get a little more participation out of our city council, but in reality, there were a number of members of the council that just refused to take my phone calls or even to return my phone calls. A couple of people did and seemed to like the ideas that we were talking about. Other people just didn't return my phone calls. And so I figured, okay, well, that kind of tells you you've been in politics.
Yep, yep. You know, they're not interested. We're not going anywhere.
We're not going to go anywhere.
So, move forward, yeah.
And then once we heard that the city had designs on the ARPA money, then our board of directors, our chairperson, wrote a very nice, respectful letter saying, we're going to back out. We're not going to compete with the city for this money. You guys go ahead and do it. You think that you're going to do best with it. And Trish, you know what happens to you can take $3 million and drop it into a government organization, and half of it goes away immediately.
Well, exactly.
You're going to have
and it's
salaries and benefits.
Unfortunately, very little accountability after that point.
We have to take a break.
I'm sorry.
Here. No, that's okay.
I didn't mean for this to get into this conversation.
No. When we come back, we're going to talk about that was me, though. I brought that up because I frankly don't understand where we've got something that worked, and now we're going to put, from plans I've seen, we're going to put covered positions out there with nothing to keep the homeless out of there, and I don't understand sometimes.
And build another park downtown.
The parks and recreation in this town, I don't understand the rhyme and reason. I've asked Kim Niemer to come on and tell me, well, what's the whole plan, and she refuses. I mean, she never answers back in the times I've sent to her. So I'd love to have Kim come on and just tell us what's going on. You know, I mean, if there's a master plan, I think people need to know about it. Anyway, hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back.
this town ain't small. It's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's Triple A. We sit below the Marlboro Man, above the Wrightville Wall. We do the wave all by ourselves. Hey, if a blind man could have made that call.
Did you know Shasta County District Attorney's Office, under the leadership of Stephanie Bridget, has a history of violating the U.S. Constitution by withholding potentially favorable evidence from a defendant? Recently, a Shasta County judge was compelled to dismiss several felony charges for this very reason. Instead of apologizing, the DA's office retaliated by preventing the same judge from hearing another trial and sending a clear message to other county judges. If you expose us, we will retaliate. Stephanie Bridget's leadership has failed once again. Paid for by a Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidates or candidates committee.
Get your motors running and cruise down to Wind River Resort and Casino Sunday, April 24th for our annual Show and Shine. No need to sign up. This free event is from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Space is limited, so get here early. Show your classic car and enjoy a hot dog meal, $10 free slot play, and a t-shirt. Additional hot dog meals available for $5. Favorite car wins $50 free slot play and a hotel stay. Bring the whole family and find your moment at the river.
We just don't feel safe. Kids shot by stray bullets, gangs overrunning neighborhoods, children we know dying from drug poisonings, and the politicians supposed to be protecting us side with criminals or just don't care. California's never felt so hopeless.
I'm Nathan Hochman. California is under attack, and I intend to stop it. I've spent years prosecuting criminals. As an assistant U.S. Attorney General and head of a California fraud task force, I locked up violent criminals, drug traffickers, corrupt politicians, and financial predators. As Attorney General, I'll crack down on cartels and gangs, get fentanyl and dangerous narcotics off the streets, lock up violent criminals, and prosecute corruption. My mission always has been and always will be to protect California families.
Nathan Hochman, an Attorney General who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Good morning, 7:52 in the morning here on the 21st of April. If you missed the big smokeout in Weed, California yesterday on 420, okay. You know, they were having a huge event up there yesterday. It's 420 is marijuana, you know, appreciation day. Hey,
Whoa, okay.
I'm too old, I guess. I don't understand. I didn't know what 420, I thought it was like 20 minutes after 4.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't get this.
This portion of the show, it's because you two aren't staying up with it. We're not woke. Like us youngsters.
You media folk.
That's right. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you've had a work injury and you're not getting treatment, you need to give Patrick Gorman a call for a free consultation. You call him at 262-2168. Work injuries can be life-changing. The insurance companies have dozens, if not hundreds, of lawyers working for them. You need somebody that understands the system is going to fight for you, and that's Patrick Gorman. Again, give him a call at 262-2168. And he will, for a free consultation, if he thinks everything's going good for you and you're just wondering, he'll tell you that. But if it's not, you need a bulldog, and that's Patrick Gorman. We're here with Rick Bassetti. Trish Clark and I are here with Rick Bassetti. And now, Colt 45 season is starting.
May 27th, opening night.
That's right.
Preston Sharp's going to come and throw out the first pitch for us. It's become a good tradition for us.
Well, Preston, and just for everybody's information, is our local young person who has done so much for veterans, not only here in Shasta County, but now across the United States and visiting many states.
I think he's trying to get to all 50, and I think that's great.
It's incredible. I've been fortunate enough to do some events with Preston. His heart is really in the right place, so it's
if
great.
You're a veteran and you come to opening night, you get in for free.
There you go.
If you come to the game and bring a 12x18 flag, you get a free ticket.
Whoa.
And we donate those to Preston, and Preston puts them on the grave sites of the veterans for us.
Well.
And so he's been with us now for a number of years.
You've watched him
we
grow.
Love watching him grow.
Oh, my gosh, the first time we had him on the show, he was just a baby practically.
Yeah.
Okay, so the season's starting,
but you still
need some help.
Oh, yeah, we need lots of help. I need host families, too. You know, I've got about 15 kids right now. You're going to have them for 9 weeks. They're going to be 18-year-olds to 22-year-olds. You just have to show them where the refrigerator is, all right? Give them their own room to sleep in. We can't have adult males bunking in with
kids.
Yeah, that just doesn't – we can't do that.
No, just kids.
But you don't have to cook dinner for them, you know, because they're at the ballpark every night, you know. But just show them where the leftovers are. They will do their chores. You give them a list of chores, you know. You want them to help mow the lawn or take out the garbage, things like that.
And the feedback I've gotten is people have really enjoyed this. They've really enjoyed it.
So you actually provide the food for them?
No, one of the things that the host families have to do is provide the food. Now, if someone takes...
And that's what I'm saying. You as the host
family. Oh, you as the host family.
You're going to provide the food for them.
Here's where the cereal is. Here's where you make a sandwich. Here's where this stuff is. Trust me. You show a 19-year-old boy that once, and they don't forget where the food is.
No, that's exactly right.
Not only that, they're going to be gone most of the day. But if you have chores for them, they are more than happy to do that. We're not talking re-roofing the house here.
No. We're only pulling a few weeds and helping around the yard and stuff like that. We also, though, provide the host families, however many there are in the family, with season tickets. Okay, and we have a special section set up with seating reserved for the host families right down next to the dugout. So they, as our players come out, they get to watch them come out and hit or pitch or do that sort of thing.
Do they have their own transportation?
I would say 75% of the boys will. And so what we do is we will set them up with host families where there will be a player just beyond.
So they can carpool.
Someone who doesn't, they can carpool in.
You don't have to take them to practice.
No. There'll be times when you will because you want to.
Yeah, because you want to, but you're not turning into a baseball mom.
Or an Uber or Lyft service, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then you also get 15% off of all of our swag down there, any of our souvenirs and shirts and, hats, things like that.
Plus you keep a great program going.
Well, we think so, and you'll develop a lifelong relationship. We have host families that go to the weddings of these kids later on in life, and have them coming back for Christmas, or they go and visit them when they're at. We just had my little sister and brother-in-law hosted a young man from Seattle University a few years ago. Well, he just pitched down in Sacramento. And so he notified him, hey, if you can come down and watch me pitch, wouldn't that be great and everything? So, things like those will happen. And it's just a neat experience. You get to have an influence. We had a number of ladies, of grandmothers, single widowed women, who started hosting and everything too. And so, we hope that that'll continue because now they get to be grandma to these kids,
And you've got somebody in the house too.
Yeah. And you feel a little safer when you got a 19-year-old, 20-year-old in the house.
Okay, so how do people get a hold of you or the system here?
227-4443. That's my cell phone number. It rings in my pocket.
Okay, everybody grab a pencil. I just muted it.
227-4443. It's been that when I was in public office. It's been that forever.
It's been that forever.
And so it's very easy to remember. Go to our website, ReadingColt45s, plural, .com, And there's a place where you can just send us an email and say, hey, I'm interested in a host, as being a host family. These kids are good kids. They're coming off of college rosters. We have two players who are high school graduates who have been signed to four-year schools, and they're just going to come here for some seasoning, let them experience what it's like to be around college players. Some of our college players are, because of the way the virus has affected eligibility, some of our kids are going to be 22, 23 years old because they've been able to hang in school for an extra couple of years.
Because of the
epidemic or whatever it was. And so, you know, they're all good kids. I always question the coaches about character. And we most of these kids, or all of them, and if there's ever an issue, you let me know immediately. Boom, they're gone. We don't put up with anything.
Rick Bassetti, who has done so much for our community in so many ways, but especially with the Colt 45s. The game start May 27th.
7:15.
You can hear it right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We have a great partnership here, and we love being able to bring baseball. And baseball is back after 2 years.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's that thing that brings everybody together.
We're going to have.
Yeah, and Chester County loves the baseball.
That's right. They do love baseball. Little League, all this. So many kids play this.
Absolutely.
They need safe places to play their sports, and the families can be around. Rick's going to be on several more times before the season starts, so thanks for joining.
Can I squeeze in something really quick?
Yeah.
June 11th, 8 a.m., 12 p.m., is a free baseball clinic for 8 to 14-year-olds sponsored by Major League Baseball and Chevrolet. All right, and the link is on our website, ReadingColt45s.com, or Lithia Motors here. You can go online there and you can register your child, male, female, it doesn't matter.
Free baseball clinic?
Free baseball clinic, June sponsored 11th. By Major League Baseball.
Perfect. That's great. Rick, thanks so much, and we're going to have you back on in a couple weeks, and we're going to keep on pushing.
Host families.
All right, we'll be right back after the news with Bob Halslinger, who is running for Shasta County Clerk.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Last remaining Ukrainian stronghold in Mariupol.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has instead ordered Russian military forces in the port city to block it so that not even a fly comes through. The only remaining Ukrainian forces are holed up in the sprawling Azovstal steel plant. Leaving the plant in Ukrainian hands blocks the Russians of declaring victory in Mariupol, which is of strategic importance in Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Irina Vereshchuk demanded that a humanitarian corridor is created from the steel plant to release about 1,000 civilians and 500 wounded soldiers. I'm Karen Chamath.
President Biden says there is no decision yet on whether Title 42 border restrictions will be allowed to lapse next month. An even greater flood of illegal immigration expected if and when Title 42 is lifted. On Wall Street, stocks are higher. Right now, the Dow is up 211 points. The Nasdaq ahead 69, and the S&P 27 points higher. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3377 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3377. Enjoy.
The French presidential candidates, incumbent Emmanuel Macron and challenger Marine Le Pen, debated the issue.
If you look at the editorialists and commentators, they all are saying that Macron won. I think, you know, on the arguments, he clearly had the better of it. He had still a greater grasp of the detail, and he was able to point up inconsistencies quite regularly in Marine Le Pen's discourse. But people aren't voting necessarily for her on whether or not she technically won the arguments, whether she got the last word in and so on. I mean, it's much more about her image, her personality, what she represents. And in that, I think she kind of confirmed herself and maybe elevated her status somewhat.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris. World Health Organization says the number of new COVID-19 cases worldwide decreased by nearly a quarter last week. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A communications failure caused brief evacuation of the U.S. Capitol last evening.
A twin-engine plane flying over the city deemed a probable threat by police. A short while later, members of the Army's Golden Knights parachute team jumped from that plane and landed on the field at Nationals Park just before the Nats game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi blamed the FAA in a statement, saying the apparent failure to notify Capitol Police of the pre-planned flyover of National Stadium is outrageous and inexcusable. Two people familiar with the matter tell the AP investigators are still trying to figure out why the event wasn't properly coordinated with law enforcement officials. Tim McGuire, Washington.
As of today, New Jersey has joined 17 other states where the sale of recreational marijuana is legal. Garden State voters approved it in a referendum back in November of 2020. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy. And today,
good morning.
Today is high five day. We've gone around giving high fives to everybody. Today, the 21st of April, 2022, 8:05 in the morning, the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Trish Clark is with me.
Because it's Thursday. I love Thursday mornings. All except the part about getting up at 5:30. That I don't like so much. But yeah. So it's 46 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 61 and a low of 43 and a 90% chance of rain later in the afternoon and thunderstorms and wind and hopefully not quite as bad as it was yesterday. Only 5 to 7 miles per hour coming from the south. So, and on Friday, we're looking for a high of 43, mostly clear. And on Saturday, a high of 75, sunny, mostly clear, a low of 47. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 81 and a low of 52. And on Monday, a high of 79 and a low of 52. So we're going to have a nice weekend for cool April nights and then a chance of showers as we go into next week again. So we might still continue to get a little bit of rain, and that might be all right. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
And on the phone is Pat Karch with our community calendar. Good morning, Pat. And on the phone is our community calendar with Pat Karch. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm out here in the piano. We're out here in the Piano Angels van headed to Chico to pick up a grand piano, but I wanted to call in and tell folks on KCNR about the KCNR community calendar, which, of course, is always sponsored by Siskiyou Insurance. And we have a big week coming up. Oh, my gosh, this is like the week of all weeks in Reading with Cool April Nights Week starting, and there's lots of things for people to do there. And if you go to the KCNR1460.com website, scroll down to the bottom, folks, and look for the events link, that's click on events. You can see all these events listed. You can also submit your own event, and Carl's team of fact checkers will get those on the
on my little elves
calendar. Yeah, little elves. So Cool April Nights is starting off, and of course for Piano Angels, it's also a big week because one of our big fundraisers is on Saturday, the really big music giveaway, where we give away CDs, albums, and thousands of pieces of music to people for free. So that's coming up, too, Reading School of the Arts. Find it on the website. And then Carl's got a great event that he's involved in, too, folks, the Safari Club International 28th Annual Banquet. Carl, tell us about that a little bit.
Well, that's going to be Saturday, and it's going to be down at Wind River. It is just probably one of the premier banquets for hunting and for people who are interested in the environment and conservation with the Safari Club International. Giveaways, they're going to have raffles, some of the finest art, outdoor gear, hunting and outdoor gear. It's dinner, the whole thing. It starts at 5 p.m. and with the reception and games and a 6:30 dinner, auctions and drawings. For more information, you can go to scireading.org.
Awesome. And, folks, you can hear more and about these events as you listen to KCNR throughout the week. And you can go to the KCNR 1460 website and scroll down to events. Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Trish.
If there's anything you, I mean, you never can say in Shasta County that there's nothing to do.
Because
there's always many, many things, and that's a good place to find out what's happening in our community.
Thanks a lot, right, Pat. On. And Pat, of course, is with Piano Angels, and they've I don't know, something like 300 and something pianos they've delivered to people that wanted pianos and wanted music in their lives.
So if you have a piano and you want to get rid of it, or if you want a piano and you need one, that's the place to get a hold of.
Yeah, just go to Piano Angels. And Siskiyou Insurance, thanks so much for Curtis Byron and for sponsoring this. He's located at 857 Mistletoe Lane, and you can give him a call at 224-2345. We're here with Bob Holsinger, who is, did I pronounce that right?
Close enough. Holsinger.
Holsinger. Okay, Holsinger. I'm sorry.
Been called worse.
Who's running for Shasta County Clerk. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, sir. High five.
Hey, tell us a little bit about you.
I'm a relatively new resident of Shasta County. It's been about 5 years. I got here a little bit late. Came up here with a family emergency, and we have granddaughters up here and a daughter up here that needed mom and dad, so we came up here to support them. And in doing so, I went from Fresno to Redding in Shasta County. What a change that was. Got up here to clear air, God's country, with beautiful mountains on three sides, with snow on them this time of year. It's awesome to see, and great people up here as well. So glad to be here.
Okay. And so why are you running for office? I mean, and especially in today's climate, it's different than it used to be when I first moved here.
Yeah.
And things have gotten a little bit, they don't have to be
correct
rougher, but things have gotten rougher.
It sure seems like they have definitely gotten rougher probably in the last 5 years or so, morally, maybe 10 years. But
well, there's two ways to look at that. Maybe people have gotten more interested in paying attention to what's actually going on. I'm not sure that everything has changed all that dramatically about what's actually happening in those offices. I think more people are paying attention as a result of the last 2 years when we had some things happen.
We're definitely becoming more aware as citizens, as voters, and participating more with our government. And the government's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. We the people. And if you look at our org chart in county, it says we the people, and then the Board of Supervisors second in a row.
Yep.
But that's what we're trying to do, is look at that. I got involved shortly after I got up here in the 2018 primary elections, of all things. And I got invited to become a volunteer observer and observe the election process. So that was the first thing that happened. And in Shasta County, I believe I was probably the only volunteer election person that was out here in the county looking at the time. Even both political parties didn't have anybody that I'm aware of at the time. I did see the grand jury out there on election night, and that was neat. So that took me down to the 2018 off-year elections. We had about 5 to 7 people, and then we got into the 2020 primary. We probably had 20 to 25 people observing around the polls and ballot processing. 2020 general, there was probably 45 people looking throughout the county. So people are coming alive and aware of their votes and how important it is that your vote counts. And that people do vote. They're exercising that right that we have. And it's done appropriately, and then there's integrity and there's transparency. The Newsom recall, again, we were at least 45 to 60 people out here. And then we saw that the District 2 was about the same. But people are waking up throughout the county and around the nation, I think, actually.
I think around the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, elections have consequences.
Amen. We've heard that before.
Okay. Hey, we're here with Bob Holsinger, who is running for Shasta County Clerk. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and get into his platform and what he wants to do, and just what does a county clerk do. I'm going to read the definition of that one, and then go from there. Hey, you know what? As you get older, But you don't recognize that fact. You still want to do those same things. You still want to ride that horse up and down those hills. You still want to bench press 300 pounds. You still want to do, play in golf, swimming, all of these things. Well, you know what? As you get a little bit older, you might pull something. You might strain something. You may have a weakness in one of your joint areas. Well, then you need to stop by Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance in the Sunset Shopping Center at 3673 Eureka Way and see physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang. They are there to get you back into shape. They've got all the experience in the world working with the United States gymnastics team, pro football combines, colleges, universities. Both of them are experts in what they do. And they're to get you back into shape, get you back into action. Give them a call at 533-5030, 533-5030. You've got those strains and sprains and you want to come back. These people can help you. Like I said, they're experts at what they do. We'll be right back after these messages with Bob Holslinger.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. Left yesterday behind him, you might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to readingcivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Shasta County voters, Stephanie Bridget is perpetrating a public safety hoax.
Pull the curtains back. Look through the smoke and mirrors.
Recently, Bridget claimed a 92% conviction rate in 2021. The truth? Bridget lost 18 out of 33 felony trials. More pathetic, Bridget lost 5 of 7 cases involving sex crimes on young children. Overall, Bridget has a 63% conviction rate on all felonies. Do you feel safer now? Stephanie Bridget, it's time for the public to know the truth. Prove your numbers. Paid for by Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 49 degrees out there. It's going to be raining today, maybe some thunderstorms later on, and thunderstorms mean wind.
That's what they're saying. That wind blew last night. My goodness, I thought my whole house was falling apart.
I thought we had, trees, because Linda's got numerous trees and bushes in these pots. And some of them I've tied down.
Yeah. I actually did have boards blow off of my fence and break branches off a lilac tree.
Oh, my gosh.
Really irritated me.
Hey, this portion. Well, you know what, then? You need to talk to Judy Maxwell, Maxwell Insurance and Financial. You got damage to your house? She's going to take care of it. She is an expert when it comes to insurance and financial management. Two separate divisions within her company. Judy's been helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, you can reach her at 221-0441. We have insurance with Judy Maxwell. We're not sorry at all. She treats all of her customers like friends. We're here with Bob Holsinger. He was running for Shasta County Clerk. Now, I'm going to read this out, what sure. The definition is here. The county clerk serves the public as a licenser of marriage licenses, filer of fictitious business name statements, and is an authorized passport acceptance agent in Shasta County. The Register of Voters and Elections Department is the primary election service provider and sole voter registration custodian for approximately 100,000 voters in Shasta County.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why are you running for, you've been observing elections.
Yeah, for five different cycles.
Yeah, was something in there that piqued your interest?
There's one thing I happened. The first time I was there in primary 2018, I was an observer. Then I was asked to become a coordinator for Shasta County for a nonprofit organization that trains people around the state on election codes and then schedule them to go to the polls as volunteers and observe the election process from the poll standpoint and then watch the ballots as they come in to the office, the clerk's office, and watch them go through there's 8 to 10 steps depending on the ballot. And watching how all that happens according to election law and document and report any deficiencies that they note. And so we started with that in the fall of 2018 in the November election and then walked from there. Continue to grow as it went on. And like we were talking a little bit earlier, the citizens, I think, in America are becoming aware of what's happening in our world, in our nation, especially with the COVID issue. It brought more people with time on their hands, and they started going to their city council meetings, county council meetings, that sort of thing, and becoming more and more aware of voting. And so I was seeing some things that were not according to the election code. I was asking questions. Most of the time, 99% of the time, I got great answers back, and they were right there on the spot, because we could talk to a supervisor, and if I needed to, I could talk to Kathy. And we got great response. And I'm finding that there's some things that never got a good response for, even though they've been asked multiple times. And there are some of them were pretty significant issues that I think should have been cleared up very clearly and promptly.
Can you name some of these issues?
There are several, but I'll just go for one that was really hard for me to understand was we're going next week, we're going to do but the county is going to do the accuracy testing on the voting machines.
Okay.
Where they actually put a deck of ballots through the machines and they actually count the ballots. They know what's on the ballots themselves because they've made the deck and they know exactly what the contests that will be counted are. And then when they run these ballot stacks through the machines and they run a tape on the machine and verify that the machine read exactly what the ballot deck said. And that's part of the accuracy that they do. And it's a very thorough process. It's very detailed. There's about 14 to 17, I can't remember exactly which, of individual numbered plastic seals that are on locked compartment doors on throughout the machine itself for the ballot drop boxes all the way to the, they call them a CF card. It's like an oversized SD card, basically. And every ballot that goes through these optical scanning machines gets a front and back image on that ballot. And it also does a count, and it does that very quickly if you've ever voted through the machine yourself. It's within less than 5 seconds, the ballot is counted.
That's the way I always vote, is we always vote in person, even though that most people don't.
Yeah.
We vote in person, and you're right. You know, you fill it out, stick it in there. It gives a little burping sound.
Bing!
Yeah.
And the counter moves up one, and you know that your ballot is counted.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing about it. That's another thing that I found was when you go through the startup process on a machine, they go through a startup manual, and there's actually a seal list that shows you where each seal number is on which door, and you're supposed to verify that 4 times a day over the course of the election day. When they do the opening process at some of the precincts here recently in one of the contests, there were 5 precincts that the seals didn't match what was in the manual. So it's like, how did that happen? Because they're verified during the accuracy test, and then the machines themselves are all saran wrapped. So they couldn't be taped or messed with at that point. The seals are on the doors are locked, and everything's up. And it's ready to be shipped out to the polls for election day. When you get to election day, you go in about 5:45, and they start opening up the polls. They set up the machine. They set it all up and turn it on, verify all the seals, and, oh, the seals on the 2 CF card doors don't match what's on the documents on 5 polls.
And what happens at that point?
A question is asked, and I hoped an answer would come, but I was not given a timely answer, and it was only till I think it was last week that we were at a observer meeting. And I was told, oh, it was just a clerical error on the manual. Well, we were observing the accuracy testing, and it was a big issue to make sure the seals documented were correctly on the manuals, which was very interesting. I don't know what's happening there. I'm not saying anything other than that it was just unusual, shall we say. Kathy's been very open to the observers. She got a little overwhelmed, I believe, with the District 2 contests. There were a lot of people in there that I had no idea what their names were, who they were with, or anybody, but they were in the clerk's office observing. And, of course, because I have a 5-election relationship with her, they were all my people, even though I had no idea who they were. And election night was really, it was chaos, in my opinion. There were too many people in the halls. They were talking like they were sitting around the dinner table after dinner, talking and joking and having a good time.
But you have to have, allow people in there.
You have to allow people in there, but they have to be also not to disturb the process, because people are concentrating here. This is a sacred, detailed process that you have to go through.
So basically anybody can go in during this process?
Any citizen in California
can come in.
Okay.
And observe the process.
But not disrupt.
But they may not disrupt, and the laws tells you that. And if you look at your voter guide when you get your vote-by-mail ballot or when you go into any precinct poll, there's a Voter Rights Act posted on the wall or in the guide itself, and it tells you that exactly. You have the ability to observe. However, you can ask questions and expect an answer, yes. However, you have to be able to not disrupt. And there are certain things you can't do. You can't take pictures. You can't intimidate voters, that sort of thing. And that's all in that.
And you can't wear shirts and hats and all those things.
Political campaigning, sort of thing, yeah.
Okay, when you said there was a clerical error on this, what was the answer on that? I mean, if they put them through all the time and you make sure everything matches, and then when you get ready to start up the machine and some of them don't match what they say they're supposed to happen, what happens then?
They went on about the business, and we ran in. Those machines were used for those contests during the election day, and they were counted.
Did they go back and count and do a sample to see if this, you know, the sample said, okay, even though these seals weren't here, this is the way these 100 people voted, and then they counted, and then they went through and counted it to make sure that it was right?
At the end of each election by state law, there's a 1% hand count of the total ballots cast as of election night, 8 p.m. And so there's an arbitrary program that goes out and solicits and it selects the different precincts that you will actually hand count. So in the 2020 general election there, they had 99,804 ballots were cast. And of those, they took well over 1% and they hand counted them. They thought it would take them 3 to 5 days and ultimately ended up taking about 10 days to get the hand count done. And it's done by a team of, let's see, there was two, four, six, about seven people, and it was on podcast. It was actually live on Facebook on the webpage if you wanted to watch it. And then you could also come in and sit and watch paint dry. Because it was very thorough, very detailed, as you can imagine. There were 28 contests in that 2020 general election. And some of them had six or seven candidates, and others had a yes or a no vote on a proposition. And so that just, it takes time, and you got to be very thorough. And they had people who were actually sorting the ballots out by candidate in the contest, and then they were sorting them out as they walked through them and count them. And then there were other people that were marking a checklist and showing how many counts on each ballot for each person was there. Well, and it had to match with what the Dominion voting machine tape said.
Did it match?
The only time it would not match that we found typically was when somebody put the wrong candidate in the wrong box. And so when they went to that box to count the ballots in that box top, they would come up with two or three extras. Well, when they found that, because the tape said this and their hand count said this, they go back and look through that. What it was the top of a...
Somebody made it. There's another clerical error. Somebody
it was
put
a human wrong. Issue.
Yeah, it was a human issue. Then.
Yeah, human error, which we're all capable of that.
Yeah.
But they go through and they find...
But the machines were right.
The machines, every time I saw when you went back and looked at them, they were programmed right and they were doing their thing, yes.
Okay.
And so I can't say a problem there. They did the 1% count, which was really closer to 3%, I think, by the time we were done. And then we had the District 2 recall here as well. They did what they call a risk-limiting audit, an RLA, which is a program that statistically goes back and verifies that the winners of the election, or losers as it be, are correct according to statistics. And they ended up with that District 2. They ended up counting every single ballot cast.
Every single ballot in District 2 is counted?
By hand.
Okay. Because that was a pretty contentious election and all that. Okay, so I thought, that sounds like a good idea. So nobody can say, we were screwed by the machine.
It was all there. It was all there. Okay. That's a nice thing that I've seen about the election office. I got to tell you, yes.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and now we're going to get to the other side of it. Okay.
All right.
We're with Bob Holsinger, who is who's running for Shasta County Clerk. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Yes, it's been raining this week, but it'll stop next week. And you want to have a clean car or truck. Quick and clean.
Cool April nights this weekend. You got to have a clean car.
Yeah, you got to get it done. And I tell you what, this is a great place to get your car washed, your car or truck washed. It's on the corner of Mark and Eureka Way, right next to Dutch Bros. It's a super group of people there, really friendly. They go through a brushless car wash, and then they wipe off your car with soft, clean towels. And if you buy 5 car wash coupons, you get 1 free, or buy 10 and you get 10, you get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash. Good people. We'll be right back.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
Did you know staying active can reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's and dementia by 45%? 2.5 hours of moderate physical activity each week is recommended. Activity for 15 to 20 minutes a day can make a difference. Take a walk, go for a swim, or dance in your living room. For more healthy brain tips and resources on Alzheimer's and dementia, visit ShastaHealthyBrain.com. This message is from Shasta County Health and Human Services, supported by the California Department of Public Health Alzheimer's Disease Program Healthy Brain Initiative. Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with.
Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey kids, we're working here. Give us a call and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Pretty soon we're going to be rodeo radio. Here, the Red Rodeo coming up quick. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. The only place I will have my hair cut is at Cypress Square Barbershop, the only place I've had it cut since I was in Reading. So I can say it's the best place for Carl is right there. Like I said, discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only. You can give them a call at 244-9478. It's man's last stronghold. Hoorah. Hey, Trish Clark and I are here with Bob Holsinger, who's running for Shasta County Clerk. And you have laid out more about elections. Because you've been a volunteer and been helping in charge of this, of volunteers, I think,
yeah.
Since you've been up here for all the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And you told us how it worked, how the machines are set up, and in that, recall election, every vote was hand counted, plus the machines, because, Bob, something like, what, 60 to 65, 70% of the voting in Shasta County is by mail. Is that correct?
I believe at least that, yeah.
At least
it's
that.
It's convenient.
Yeah, well, it's convenient. We've been doing, it's just been getting more and more every year.
But let me ask a question for you.
Sure.
Just curiosity. I believe, and I believe that the voter, it's easy to throw it right back in the mail and forget about it, right?
Right.
The challenge is if I had five $100 bills and I put them in an envelope and I mailed it to myself and dropped it in the mailbox, where does that go? It goes from my post office box outside my house. It goes all the way downtown. It ends up there, down to Sacramento, back to Sacramento, back to Reading, Reading back to my address, I'm assuming. Would I want to do that with a $500 bill? What is your vote worth? I can't put a dollar value on my vote. I cherish my vote and the right to choose my elected officials and
make sure
that they're counted properly.
And how many times have you mailed something or someone has mailed something to you and you never got it?
Or it's the envelope is creased, it's torn, it's dirtied, or like you said, it never shows up. We get boxes every now and then through the mail, and the boxes have been crushed.
Yes.
Maybe the sides open on them. So you're really turning it over to some people you don't know. They're doing the best job they can to make sure that the mail is functional properly. But then it gets to the register's office. And once it comes through the back door there, now there's going to be anywhere from 10 to 12 people minimum that's going to handle your ballot. You don't know them either. And I don't know them. But there is a chain of custody where there's always two people involved with the handling of any ballot. So as it goes through the process of inspecting the envelope, tearing the tab off the back so they can actually see the signature on the back of your vote-by-mail ballot and the date. And then it's sorted into stacks of about 100 and put in a tray. And then it goes through a sorting machine. It sorts the ballot. It weighs the ballot envelope. It takes a digital picture of the front and back side of the envelope and actually sorts by precincts. And it does that 100 ballots in like 20 seconds. And there's like 16 they call pockets. And then they'll take 13 precincts and just sort it that fast in 20 seconds, 100 ballots. So that works great unless there is a smudge on the envelope, a tear on the envelope, a fold on the envelope, and then those have to be.
And then they just get flipped out?
Nope, those get duplicated by hand by others that you and I don't know. They have two people that go up there, and then one reads off what the envelope, what the ballot was voted as, and the other one is marking on a computer screen, and then they print out another ballot, and they put that through the machine and not your ballot that was in the soiled envelope or torn.
Okay.
So that's another set of people that are working that you don't know. So once it goes through the what they call a Gillis sorting machine, then it goes upstairs, and they do another inspection of the envelope because when it goes through the machine, it actually cuts the top of the envelope so you can extract the ballot out of it now. They also weigh the ballot for election integrity purposes. Is there only one ballot in there, or is there two ballots in there, three ballots in there sometimes, or no ballots in there? Because there's supposed to be one signature for every ballot in the envelope. That's why there's one envelope for one ballot sent out in the mail for registered voter. And so when they come in and there's two or three ballots in one envelope and one signature on the envelope, that's a problem that the register has to send a notice out to the individual, say, hey, you know, there's three ballots here. Where are the signatures with all three? Because I really, by law, I can't count those ballots without. So which ballot has got the signature and what are the other two? Because as we all know, the vote-by-mail ballot you get, there's no way to go back and say, that's Bob's ballot in that pile right there, the third one down from the top, because there's no number on it anymore. There's no identifying barcode on it anymore. And so once it's separated from the envelope, it's one of 98,804 ballots in the general election in 2020 that they all look alike. They're all voted differently, and there's no way to go back and find them again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite challenging that way. So then it goes upstairs, it's sorted one more time, it's pulled out, the envelope is extracted, the ballot is, and it's folded flat, so it'll go through what they call a tabulation machine.
Bob.
I see a question.
I do. The process is, you know, obviously there's a lot of people doing it. What is the process flawed?
I think the process is not flawed in the sense that it's a process that is time-consuming. It's done by people that are temporary employees. They're there for a period of time to help with the elections, and they get the elections done, and then they'll come back. A lot of them have been coming back for years and supporting the elections, which is a wonderful thing. I won't tell you the process is flawed. I'm just telling you that when we have people that are handling ballots in an election process that we don't know, it's probably in our best interest to do what I recommend is if you have the opportunity, and we all do, to take your ballot down to the register's office and vote it through the machine yourself. And do that as soon as possible. The reason being, there's been numerous events around the county that's been documented under perjury, declaration of perjury, that if, you know, we find this throughout the county where somebody goes into the polls to vote on election day at 6 a.m. on election day, and they at 7 a.m. when the polls open, they get first one in line, and they said, oh, just a minute, and they look you up on the roster and says, oh, you've already voted vote-by-mail ballot. And the individual says, I've been opening this poll for 30 years now right here, and I don't have a vote-by-mail ballot, so that's why I didn't bring a vote-by-mail ballot. What are you talking about? And so that was a challenge that I found this out after elections. I went down and talked to Kathy personally. She looked it up on the computer and verified that the individual had put in a provisional ballot which was counted. A provisional ballot you get at the poll or at the registers is counted about within 14 days after it's issued. It's not counted by election night at 8 p.m. And so when that happens.
And how does that do? Oh, but to follow up on that, because the provisional ballots, they say you've already voted. So you file a provisional ballot. How does that reconcile? Do you ever know whether your ballot was counted, the provisional ballot, or the ballot that you didn't cast was counted?
Well,
how do you solve that?
That particular incident right there, they went back and they realized that, oh, the vote-by-mail ballot was not counted, but it was not also voted because they told him that he had already voted, but he didn't have a vote-by-mail ballot. So he used the provisional ballot was counted. She showed me that in a file cabinet that she showed me the envelope over there and showed me on the computer where it was. And I asked her to offer to bring the voter in and ask and show him personally. And he declined, but he appreciated the fact that she looked it up for me.
Let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thanks, Bob. You've given me more information about that office than I ever knew just this 1 hour. Listen, I've got no confidence in electronic vote counting. You stated that you'd like to get rid of the Dominion machines and go to another one. The other ones probably aren't as good or suspect also. So I'm wondering how hard would it go to be a hand count? I would be willing to wait for the results if I knew they were honest.
Understood. Understood.
Thanks, buddy.
The challenge we face is, again, with that, there's 113,000 registered voters in Shasta County right now, roughly. And of the 113,000, obviously, not 100% of them vote. And they don't all do it at once, which is amazing. You know, in Shasta County, we can say election day is on June 7th. If you want to vote in the primary election, come to your poll, your assigned poll, and we can vote. There's 35 counties in California that do that. They have one-day election. They don't have early voting like we do. It's a choice. Hand counting is an issue that's being pressed around the county, and I can appreciate that. Again, it goes back to human error. If we program things correctly all over the banking industry, all over the business industry, we have software programs that are running every day with no problems until somebody hacks them from the outside. Dominion voting machines in Shasta County, every ballot that's counted in Shasta County is counted on Dominion software. Every single, whether you do it at the polls or whether you do it at the office in the mail, and it shows up there and goes through tabulators, it's all Dominion software. The only challenge I find with Dominion is they've been drugged through the dirt from one end of this nation to the other. And I was always taught where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm just saying there appears to be smoke. And if there's smoke, what are the other options? There's currently 10 machines that are approved by the Secretary of State's office. There's a very regimental approval process for optical scanning voting machines. Dominion's one of them. LA County decided they'd design their own machine and have it built by their own vendor, which they did, and there's no way I would use that machine either. But there's other eight options.
But the issue is I'm not so concerned about the electronic part of the machine. The issue is can it be hacked from the outside, i.e., is it hooked up to the Internet?
We're told over and over and over and over again that it is not.
Okay.
And I do not see a blue wire tied to it.
Okay. Well, we need to take a break here. And Mark and Richard, please hang on to the other side, and we'll get to you right after the break. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
In 2019, Christopher McHatton killed Stephen Johnson with a hammer. The big question, why? The Shasta County District Attorney spent hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars only to have the murder conviction reversed on appeal. Why? Because Ben Hanna, Stephanie Bridget's right-hand man, quote, misled the jury. The appellate court stated the magnitude of the error was great, prejudicial, and requires reversal. Now Shasta County taxpayers will be forced to fork out thousands more for retrial. It's time to restore competency to the DA's office. Paid for by a Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
proven experience fighting for you.
This is Stephanie Bridget, your Shasta County District Attorney. I've spent 2 decades fighting for your safety. I've personally prosecuted murderers, rapists, and child molesters, sending them to prison for life. I have met with and advocated for thousands of victims, giving them a voice against those that have harmed them. I am tough on crime and support a bigger jail. Vote for me, Stephanie Bridget, on June 7th.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney, 2022.
I'm Ed Rollman, a third-generation Shasta County native, business owner, and founder of the Merchants Crime Watch. District Attorney Stephanie Bridget has a 20-year proven record of fighting for the safety of Shasta County, including protecting local businesses from repeat offenders. That's why I support her re-election. We don't need someone like her opponent, a workers' comp lawyer with no experience who will need on-the-job training. Vote Stephanie Bridget for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney, 2022.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
We just don't feel safe. Kids shot by stray bullets, gangs overrunning neighborhoods, children we know dying from drug poisonings, and the politicians supposed to be protecting us side with criminals or just don't care. California's never felt so hopeless.
I'm Nathan Hochman. California is under attack, and I intend to stop it. I've spent years prosecuting criminals. As an assistant U.S. Attorney General and head of a California fraud task force, I locked up violent criminals, drug traffickers, corrupt politicians, and financial predators. As Attorney General, I'll crack down on cartels and gangs, get fentanyl and dangerous narcotics off the streets, lock up violent criminals, and prosecute corruption. My mission always has been and always will be to protect California families.
Nathan Hochman, an attorney general who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott, 8:50 in the morning, 49 degrees out there. On the 21st of April, we're here with Bob Holsinger, who is running for Shasta County Clerk. Let's go to the phones. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Do you have a question or a
good. Comment? Listen, I'm sorry. I think, you know, on this subject, while we're bringing it up, everybody needs to, just absolutely needs to go to 2000mules.com and watch that trailer. And they're having a premiere on May 2nd at 7 p.m. and May 4th at 7 p.m. as well at Cinemark Reading. And it's 2 showings on Old Alturas Road there. And they've pretty much shown how that this last election was cheated. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. You got to watch the trailer. And it's done by Dinesh D'Souza, and I think you'll see when you watch the trailer that, you know, they show, and they've got videotapes, they've got these guys on geo tracking through cell phones. It's unbelievable. So, you know, just to add to the conversation, something everybody should watch to see what's going on with that, because I think it's a real problem.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
All right.
And, okay, Richard, good morning. Hello, Richard, you're on.
Hello, I'm here. Thank you so much. 2 issues here. Elephant in the room. Conflict of interest. Kathy Darling Allen is overseeing an election in which, if she wins or loses, will directly affect her finances or her family's finances. It is in the very first section of the government code that covers conflict of interest. The day she filed for candidacy, she should have officially recused herself. Her assistant, Joanna, is highly capable of running this election. So, elephant in the room there, folks. And then the second item, Kathy Darling Allen, while she's a nice person, she's only following state laws. That's her answer all the time when questionable election practices are asked. She says she's following state laws. Well, guess what happened after our recall was certified? The state of California There's two bills introduced, and I put them in the chat, that literally will disenfranchise the voters for any subsequent recall. And if Kathy Darling Allen is in office, she'll follow that law. I mean, that's not acceptable, to follow laws that encourage fraud, encourage corruption, encourage disenfranchisement. And to me, that's just not acceptable. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, Bob. Why should we vote for you?
Based upon my knowledge that I see from the teams that have been out observing, we have problems with voter confidence. We have problems with election poll worker training. It's not adequate enough. If you go down south in Orange County, it's 8 hours training. We get 2.5. They come to the polls. They don't close on time because they don't know how to close the polls up at night. They don't know how to balance a checkbook. Let's be honest. It's basically all it is a big checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
There's challenges like this and not getting questions to rudimentary issues that show up. Kathy sent me a contract, if you will, a document that asked me to sign this to be an observer. This is a listing of things you can and cannot do to be an observer in Shasta County. Knowing election law like I do and election code like I do, I looked up three of those items, and three of them were being used to circumvent election law. I refused to sign the document and return it to her. I called her up and told her why. I said, I respectfully refuse to sign this document. I says, I believe that it has items in it that are not to California law, and I refuse to do it, and I will not advise my observers to sign it either. I got thinking about it over the weekend. I made an appointment with her, went down and told her again. And when I asked her, what was the basis of law when you wrote this into this document, what was the basis for these three items? And she said, you know, never even thought of that. I'll have to get back to you. Well, I've never been gotten back to you on those three items. And I can find them in election code today. I have them on my desk at home. And I'm just amazed with that. Yes, she oversaw the implementation of a lot of California laws that have been upgraded in the last 20 to 30 years. In a lot of cases, they've taken our voter rights away from us. I don't want to follow the leader. I want to do what's right for we, the citizen voters. And that's what I'm trying to do out here, is straighten up some of the things that need to be addressed. I can do single-day voting in Shasta County instead of 29 days of early voting and all that, and bring your vote-by-mail ballot on Election Day and vote on Election Day in person. They won't even allow you, or they won't tell you when you walk into the polls with your vote-by-mail ballot in hand, and you want to vote. They won't give you the option. And you know you can vote by mail in person and run it through a machine if you want, or you can put it in a drop box here and then it'll be counted. Well, it'll be counted within the next 14 days after the election. Those are things that are just critical, that they need to share that with the public, and we're not getting that.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to do, is educate, and make sure that we're transparent. I want observers in the polls, because if you trust but verify, if someone's looking over my shoulder, or when the teacher was walking around the back of the classroom and looking at you from your back, you don't know what they're looking at, but you know you're doing the best. You're not shooting spit wads at somebody. You're in your best behavior at the time. So I believe strongly in trust but verify. That's what I want. She's apparently trying to limit the observers, it appears, in my opinion.
Okay. So you're more transparency in the elections. You change out the Dominion voting machines just to get Dominion and the name out.
And increase voter poll worker training. And look at the voter rolls. The voter rolls I keep hearing all the time. Oh, I got two ballots. Oh, my son's been out of the state for 6 months or 6 years sometimes. And he's still getting ballots at my address. Why? Because if they don't vote for two elections, they go to an inactive list.
How often are the voter rolls purged?
I've always wondered, just nationwide, because they're finding out millions of people are dead or things like this, but what about Shasta County?
Shasta County, Joanna, the assistant, will tell you that they're updated weekly. But still we're having problems with, you know, people moving. You know, that's one of the problems we have in California in general. There's not a law that says if you move out, you got to immediately, within the next number of months or days, notify the county you no longer reside in that county. So that you stay on the election rolls for eternity until something happens.
How do they check the death certificates, people who've died? Because that's no longer automatically put in the paper unless you pay for it.
Right. That's another thing. So if you are a coroner, you know, you have a car accident or something, someone dies that way or through a criminal act, that's one thing. The coroner's pretty good at getting notifications to the clerk's office. Do all the mortuaries? I'm not sure. I think there's a problem there. I think there needs to be an agreement or a ordinance put together for that, so any person in Shasta County that is deceased, the clerk gets notified so they could be removed to the inactive list on the voter rolls. It only makes sense. That way we don't have these vote-by-mail ballots floating around it, obviously.
Because we know that happens.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like an insurmountable problem. But you're right. The people are dying all the time.
It happens.
Okay.
You know, Shasta, in California, there's 3 million voters on the rolls in the county or state of California. They were sued by Judicial Watch and Election Integrity Project California. L.A. County and California were sued. L.A. County lost. They were supposed to clean 1.5 million people off their voter rolls. California was supposed to go out to the other counties that were in the lawsuit and remove those out of their voter rolls as well. L.A. County went and did about 4%, and they said, oh. When they were called on that, they said, oh, we just stopped them because we felt that it was discretionary in the settlement. Discretionary? They told you to remove 1.5 million voters off your rolls that were inactive? I don't believe that.
When and the way people move around and everything like that, you hear all the stories. I went to school in Chico, and, you know, they're still 6 years later.
The apartment complexes, they're still getting three and four for every apartment. They get 3 and 4 ballots.
Wow.
For each one.
The question is
how do we get from where we're at today?
Yeah. Well, are they harvesting those ballots and actually voting them?
We're here with Bob Holsinger, who's running for Shasta County Clerk. And how do people get a hold of you? Do you have a website? Do you have anything coming up?
There's a website. There's a rally at the amphitheater by Sundial Bridge this coming Sunday.
Okay. What about your website? What is that?
Website is votebobholsinger.com, www.vote. Bob, H-O-L, S in Sierra, I-N-G is in golf, E-R.com.
Okay.
There's more information on that webpage, and there's also, if you're so inclined, there's a donation button if you're so inclined.
Okay, and Facebook? You've got a Facebook page?
There's a Facebook page as well.
That's how I find you. That's how I find everybody. I go to their Facebook pages, and there's usually a phone number there I can reach out.
And then we can do that, too. If you'd like to reach